The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
We're so glad you've stopped by. Welcome to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. Come indulge with us in the next hour as we explore a region of the world, its wine and spirits. We'll also talk about food, tours, and other amenities unique to this area. Sit back and enjoy. Now, here's Kimber Stonehouse.
Welcome back to Around the World in a Glass. Today, I want to tell everybody Happy Thanksgiving. Just so you know, today is the day before Thanksgiving. And last week, if you'll remember, we talked about what to pair with turkey, ham, and hopefully you got that down. We are going to talk just briefly before we jump into brandy today. We are going to talk just briefly about what to pair, just in case you didn't listen or you forgot or you're at the grocery store right now trying to frantically find out. What I pair for turkey or ham, because we kind of do both in my family, if you're doing traditional fare, I like to start my dinners with bubbles, or sometimes that's our cooking beverage is bubbles, either a nice champagne from France, as we've talked about before, or, you know, maybe a little Prosecco. Maybe you have some people coming that aren't big bubbles fans or aren't big wine fans, and so you want to keep the wine on kind of a really approachable level. Well, for me, that would mean pouring Prosecco, you know, that wonderful little Italian fruity sparkling. Real nice and light. It's fantastic at 10, 11, whenever you start cooking. It's fantastic to start that off for your Thanksgiving dinner. It's also really light. You know, bubbles, there's something really light and of course, fizzy about bubbles. It's just really light, and it's nice way to start dinner. It's not too heavy. We also talked last week about Beaujolais, a lot about Beaujolais, and that I'm recommended Cru Beaujolais as a fantastic beverage. Beaujolais is a red wine. It's made from the Gamay grape. Beaujolais is a region in France. You can go back and listen, but I'm just giving you a quick update today so you're not panic-stricken if you're still trying to figure out what to serve for Thanksgiving. So Cru Beaujolais is fantastic. They run about $15 to $18 a bottle, and they're not that Beaujolais Nouveau stuff. So if you're seeing that at the grocery stores, you're walking around in great big case stacks. It came out last Thursday. Unless you like really, really fruity grape juice style wine, don't buy the Beaujolais Nouveau. It's just, we talked about it last week. You can go back and listen, but that's not what you want for your Thanksgiving dinner. I buy like a Cru Beaujolais, or you can buy your favorite Pinot Noir. It's going to go fantastic. Some other things that are really great for, say, your white wine fans, you could do, if you're doing really heavy turkey, roasted, not fried, but roasted turkey, you could do a Chardonnay if you're a big fan of domestic Chardonnay. Or you could even do a Riesling, or, a, you know, kind of a drier style Riesling, one of those crisp ones that I tell you I love so much, or a Gewürztraminer. Pinot Grigio would also work, and y'all know it's not my favorite grape, but it would work. It's not going to crash with either your ham or your turkey. And, of course, that dry European style rosé. All of those are going to be hits with your turkey dinner. They're going to go well with the vegetables. They're going to go well with all of your meats, whether it's turkey or ham. If you're doing pork, the Cru Beaujolais is still going to work. And, of course, your whites and your bubbles and your rosé. They're going to work with just about anything you can pour. None of them are going to be so offensive that they would crash, even on your non-traditional style foods. If you are doing a steak or something like that, then you're going to need something bolder. And you probably already thought that through, I hope. Anyway, happy Thanksgiving. And we will be back, of course, next week. But today, so we're heading into the holiday season, meaning, you know, that big one in December. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the spirits that people come in and they ask a lot of questions about. And they just start to get really worried. I'm having dinner for all these, you know, high-end people, and I need to serve something for after dinner. What do I do? Or I need to buy a gift of scotch, or I need to buy a gift of tequila, or, you know, all those kinds of things. So as you know, we've been kind of starting to head into that party planning and some of those gift-giving panic moments so that you don't, you know, so we've been planning ahead. So today we're going to talk about brandy. Brandy is, in its most basic form, it is a distilled spirit made from grapes. Okay, so distilled spirit made from grapes, which means, of course, at stores like the one I run of a Sportsman's Fine Wine and Spirits, we can't pour brandy. Our license is for wine and beer, things that are fermented, not things that are distilled. So that is your dividing line, okay? Brandy, now I'm sure you've seen the ones at the grocery store that say Hiram Walker Peach Brandy or Hiram Walker Cherry Brandy or whatever. All right, those are a little different. We're not talking about those today, okay? We're going to put those over in the less expensive side, all right, and just kind of shove those over in the corner. And those are for when you want to make really inexpensive cocktails or when you want to cook. But even then, I don't use them, all right? So they're not terrible quality. They're just not what I think you need when you talk about brandy, okay? There's a quality issue, and there's a high – there's a – have you ever tried the Hiram Walker Peach Brandy by itself, not in a cocktail? All right, so now you understand, if you have, now you understand why I'm kind of moving those over to the side. When we're talking about brandy, we're going to talk about the section at the store that we classify as brandy, and those are all made from grapes. And those are grape must, grape seeds, maybe the whole grapes, distilled, which is heated up, so that they boil and they get really hot. And then all of a sudden, the alcohol and the water starts to evaporate, all right? So you get your alcohol base, you get your sugar content, which for our purposes for brandy is going to be the grapes, and then you heat it all up together, and it begins to evaporate, and the first thing that evaporates is the alcohol, all right? So the alcohol evaporates, and it's caught by the top of the still, and it goes through some coils, it condenses and becomes your alcohol, your raw alcohol on the other side, all right? So what you get when you use grapes as your beginning distillate, your beginning, we can also use grain, you can use all kinds of things. Anything kind of has a starchy or a fruity or sugary kind of characteristic can be used. Potatoes, grains, apples, pears, like for Calvados. So we start with, but in this case, we're going to start with grapes. Every country, I think, of the world that makes wine has some sort of brandy. They do something with the grapes they don't use for the wine or the leftover stuff after they're done. In Italy, the leftover stuff that they use, so once they're done making the wine, you're left with all the skins and the seeds and all the stuff, the mess, the must, M-U-S-T is what that's called. They take that and they use it to make grappa. Grappa is, if you've been to Italy, you know what grappa is. You don't go to Italy and not experience grappa at least once. Sometimes, very many times. And grappa is also sometimes sold. The bottles are just gorgeous in Italy that they put the grappa in. So it's not just about the beverage. It's also about the blown glass and the beauty of the bottle. Some of the ones that we have at the store are really, really delicate. And then sometimes they'll even have like a bunch of blown glass grapes on the inside of the bottle. So yes, you are paying for the bottle, and you are paying for the grappa that's inside the bottle. You're paying for both. And that's a very common practice also with brandies. That's very, very common, which we will get to that when we talk about the most expensive brandies, which is cognac. So get your grapes, and so one way to make that is grappa. Sometimes in other countries, they make eau de vie. France is the one that makes the most eau de vie. And those will be the things that you see on the shelf. They're not going to be cheap, but they're going to be expensive. And they're going to start with grapes, and they're going to be called Mirabelle, I think, is one of them. They have different names for them. And sometimes they start, like the framboise might start with some raspberries or red grapes that make into raspberries. But they are called eau de vie, water of life. And that's what brandy originally was used for. It was used to cure you of whatever ails you in the 14th, 15th, 16th century when they first started the distillation process. So distilling grapes was right alongside of distilling herbs and making other things into medicinal products. And this clear brandy beverage coming off the grapes was called an eau de vie. All right. Now, the last time you checked brandy that you maybe buy, or cognac or Armagnac, they weren't clear. They're kind of brown in color. Those are cognacs and Armagnacs that have been aged. So the eau de vie are not aged. They're clear. They are very beautiful quality. They are not cheap. They're going to cost you $30 to probably $60 for a half bottle or sometimes for a full-size bottle. So they're going to be expensive. They are very good, but they are not for the faint of heart. So if you're buying the clear stuff to try it, get the smallest bottle you can. One of the best brands is going to be Trimbach when you can find it. They do an amazing eau de vie, a couple of amazing ones. And you can buy them according to your fruit flavor, frambois. There's one that's cherry flavored. And you can check when you're at the store and figure out which one it is you want. But they are clear. They're expensive. They're very, very rich, but they are – they always come across my palate as very high in alcohol. And it's just because it's not a beverage I like. And that's just all there is to it. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of grappa either for the same reason. It comes across as a little higher in alcohol and a little hotter than what I'd like. I like my spirits to be a little browner. So that means that they usually have some age and a hint of caramel or vanilla flavoring on the finish. So they're just richer because they have the age and the oak barrels. All right, so do you think the United States makes brandy? What do you think? Well, they do. There's a couple of brands that I know off the top of my head. One is Christian Brothers. Really inexpensive. We use it for baking. When a recipe calls for cognac or Armagnac, I am not spending $50 on a bottle of Armagnac to put 2 tablespoons or 1/4 cup in a cake recipe or any other recipe for that matter. If I'm mixing it, then it's not going to cost $50 or $75 or, God forbid, $150 a bottle. It's going to be the Christian Brothers brandy that's over on the shelf for about $15. Because when you bake it, all of the incredible nuances that made that bottle cost $160, they're lost. They're covered up by the other stuff in your cake recipe. So I just use something less expensive, something that I know I don't mind to drink, but something that's less expensive. So that's kind of how I would cheat. Right? I told you this was going to be a show about being able to find the shortcuts sometimes. So those are things that I would experiment with, the grappa, the eau de vie, the American brandy. Spain does brandy too. We have a fantastic Spanish brandy on the shelf, and that one I will drink by itself. I also use it for cooking. It's actually kind of my go-to. It's done by Torres. You may have heard us talk about their wines. They do amazing wines out of Spain. They have several of my favorites come from the Torres Company, T-O-R-R-E-S. They make a couple of different aged brandies from Spain. And the one we carry, I believe, is the 10-year-old. And it's got, I don't know, it's $20, $22, $23, something like that. It's not expensive. Full bottle, full-size bottle, so we're not talking a half-size bottle here, full-size bottle. What I love about it, though, is I can cook with it with confidence because I know it's a good quality bottle of brandy. And I can also drink it. It's smooth enough and rich enough that you can drink it and it doesn't burn. It's just a really beautiful, inexpensive bottle of brandy. There's a few others that Spain does. The Cardinal Mendoza is fairly expensive. I want to say it's $50-$60. It's a huge favorite. There's all kinds of people who love the Cardinal. I think that's what it is, Cardinal Mendoza. It's one that we sell a lot of, especially at the holidays, because people want to have a nice brandy for after dinner, or maybe they give it as gifts, and those are just some people's favorites. There are a few others in and around the shelf that are still not from France. Now, this means I still haven't gotten to France today, right? What do you use brandy for, and how do you serve it? Because we're going to go to break in a few minutes, and I don't want to get started on Armagnac or Cognac when I've only got a few minutes left before break. So what... How do we serve brandy? You know, people talk about having the brandy sifter and warming it up and all that. What if you don't have all that? Do you have to go out and buy it so you can serve a glass of brandy after dinner? Well, I don't think so. I don't have all those. You can put your brandy in a smaller style wine glass. So I have several different wine glasses. And one of them is like for white wines, and it's a smaller size. Technically it's for Sauvignon Blanc and for Riesling. And I would put my cognac or my brandy in that glass to serve it. You could even put it in a highball glass. Nobody's going to be offended if you put it in a regular highball glass that you would be served a cocktail in because, you know, you're just pouring a little bit for people to sip and savor after dinner. It's considered an after-dinner dessert kind of drink. Brandy is just, you know, some people like to enjoy it with cigars. Not a fan of cigars. But you can certainly, many people think it stands up well to the aromatics and the flavor profile of cigars. So that's why it makes it a nice after-dinner kind of drink. You've had your dinner, you've had your dessert, or sometimes people pair the brandy or the cognac with dessert, or do it instead of dessert. I'm a fan of the liquid dessert. I like my ports, I like my brandies. I'm not so big on cake and pie, so sometimes I have a more liquid-style dessert. So that would be what I would plan on how to serve it, what I would use. We are going to get seriously into cognac and seriously into Armagnac because those are the two big names. And that way you can kind of give, start planning your gift giving with confidence if that's what you're looking for. One thing to ask your friends, if you know that they're cognac fans or they're Armagnac fans, try to find out which ones they like. Do they like the big expensive stuff? Maybe be nosy and look around in their cabinet. And that's kind of my way to get around it, is kind of do a little research before I go in and buy that gift. I go in and have an answer so that when someone like myself says, all right, you need a cognac, do you have a ballpark of what you want to spend? Do you have a budget? Do you know what they like? Do they have a brand name? Do you have anything at all? Because those are like vital questions for me. If you come in, you say, the bottle they have on their shelf is Louis XIII. I'm going to say, all right, and your budget is? And you say, $50. And I'm going to say, let's get them a really great bottle of wine, not a bottle of brandy. Louis XIII is a cognac that runs about $4,000, $3,000 to $4,000 a bottle. Might be only $2,500, but it comes in a Baccarat crystal bottle. I mean, the whole nine yards, right? So if that's what they have on their shelf that they drink, and your budget is $50, let's get them something different than a bottle of cognac, because chances are where your budget is and where their palate is, there is no meeting ground. So it's really important to have those kind of things. If you come in and you tell me, hey, they drink Hennessy VS, but I'd like to move them up. Oh, perfect. How much do you want to spend? I got a budget of $50. Perfect. Let's get this over here. Those few answers of just knowing what they already have on their shelf or what they poured the last time you were over and had a glass of brandy or a cognac or an Armagnac, those are huge answers when you come in to buy a gift. And we're going to talk a lot about that in the coming weeks. And we already talked about a little bit, but we will continue to talk about that because any little bits and pieces that you have, those are what gives us the clues to help you buy something that they really are going to like or that moves their palate in a slightly different direction as a gift. What I like to do is give them a gift and they're like, wow, I never bought this for myself, but this is absolutely amazing. How did you know I would like this? Oh, well, because I'm nosy and I was sneaking around your house checking out what was in your liquor cabinet, or I paid attention when we went out. That's really all you got to do is just a little bit of research and kind of pay attention. And then you'll be like, wow, I can come up with a really great gift. All right. We are going to go to break. And as promised, we're going to continue talking about brandy. We are going to get into cognac. We're going to get into Armagnac. And then, anything else that I think that I've forgotten. But we are certainly going to get into those two big things, and you'll understand what they are, where they are, and why they're not quite the same. In fact, they're totally different. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Voice America Network proudly presents The Catherine Zox Show for women, men, children, and families. Catherine magically combines her compassion, experience, and talent to bring listeners a show that's upbeat, informative, and yes, a little sassy. Tune in every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern to The Catherine Zox Show on the Voice America channel.
What are some of the issues that kids face every day? You'll find out when you tune into the appropriately named Today's Kids. Your hosts are here to open the doors to a forum of all kinds of issues. Nothing is off the table here, and because it's on the Voice America Kids channel, you know you're getting a kid's perspective. Tune in every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time for Today's Kids. Your hosts will lead this forum of engaging conversation on Voice America Kids.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's Around the World in a Glass at hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right, well, welcome back. So we were talking right before break a little bit about being nosy. You know, when else do you have the opportunity to be nosy at a friend's house, right? Because then you can say, oh, you know, I was just checking out what you like for a Christmas present. If you get caught, you can always just fess up. And then, you know, seems kind of cool. But the cool thing is to try and not get caught. I was a bit devious maybe as a child, or mischievous, I think, might also be a good word for it. Maybe not always devious, but mischievous. And I do. I love to give gifts. I like to get people something that I know is going to surprise them, that they wouldn't think of for themselves, or maybe they didn't even know it was out there. So that's even better. It's like, I found this, and this is perfect for my sister. I found a book on vacation. It's perfect for my sister. So she doesn't listen, so I think I'm pretty safe. At least I don't think she does. I just blew it if she does listen. She didn't have a lot of free time, so I'm sure she doesn't listen. But it was just really cool. I was shopping in New York City, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this book is awesome. I am not going to tell you what it is, just in case she actually does listen. Alrighty. Armagnac and Cognac. All right. These are amazing. They are just flat amazing. I got introduced to both of these. As you know, I'm a wine girl, and I started in the industry as a wine girl only. And then I started working at Sportsman's, and I had to quickly catch up because we sell a lot of spirits at Sportsman's Fine Wine and Spirits. Don't forget the second half of that title is Sportsman's Fine Wines and Fine Spirits. So I started at a few of my weaker areas and fell in love with what we call the brown spirits. I'm sure I've mentioned this before. We did a couple of different shows on spirits, so if you need a review, go back and listen to those. I think they were in September. We did Distilled Spirits 1 and 2 or something like that. I like the brown ones, so the ones that are aged in oak. I don't like the things that are as clear. Over this past summer, really started enjoying gin. And gin is not a brown spirit. Gin is very, very clear. But I think it was the lightness of it in the summer. And, you know, it gets hot here in Phoenix. And I'm not always a big fan of vodka unless you're mixing something with it. But I've told you before, though, the low-calorie drink that I drink when I go out, because it's cheap, it's low-calorie, and, you know, nobody knows really what you're drinking. It's vodka soda with a twist of lime. So nobody really knows quite what you're drinking, and it doesn't cost a fortune. And it's only about 80 calories a cocktail, which is way better than 500 for a margarita. All right, so Armagnac. Armagnac is from a really tiny little region of France called Armagnac. It is landlocked. So if you've never heard of Armagnac, don't worry about it. It's landlocked. It suffers from bad marketing, all right? You've got Cognac, which you've probably heard of and didn't realize it was brandy, but it is brandy. It's just really expensive brandy. Armagnac is a region just a little farther away, has very similar soil, not exactly the same, but it's landlocked. What in the world does that matter, right? In today's transportation age, what difference does that make? We haven't quite got teleporting down, but every other type of transportation is really good to go. Well, when Cognac, its cousin, was across the way, there was a river it was on, and it went straight out to the ocean. So Cognac was able to get its product on the river straight out to the ocean and to the Brits and to anybody else who was on the ocean, because it was much easier to move big, heavy barrels or bottles on the water instead of on a wagon with horses, right? Think about that. Our transportation age for the last 200 years has sometimes made us forget those things. So Cognac was getting its beverage out and to the market probably a good 200 or even 300 years before Armagnac did much more than get it to its neighbors. You know, Armagnac could get it a little ways, but you aren't going to truck it, you know, 200 miles across country to get it to the water. It's going to, you know, it just doesn't work that way. It's a long way. You know, I think nothing of driving 200 miles, to be quite honest. I grew up in Illinois, so it was nothing. If we wanted to go shopping in St. Louis, we got in the car and went. When I lived in Chicago, if I wanted to go someplace and it was a ways away, I rented a car for the weekend and I went. You know, it's 5 or 6 hours, 250 miles, not a big deal. You think about that with a horse and a wagon. You know, when I think about the settlers who conquered Oregon and they took the Oregon Trail all the way across, it blows my mind. You know, first of all, there was no bathroom. that, you know, no plumbing. And then you think about living in and around a wagon for months. All right. So this is why Armagnac suffers from what I call bad marketing. They just didn't have the opportunity. So they have this really great product. They take their grapes, they put it into the still. They use what we call a continuous still. All right. So we're going to get into just a little bit of distillation process here. I promise not much, but just a little bit. There are two types of stills. There is the continuous still, which is a big column kind of thing. You put your stuff in the bottom, you heat it up, and it goes through the columns. It gets to a certain level. The heat rises, and the alcohol starts to rise, and then it pushes the alcohol in its vapor form into a little funnel. It goes into the coils. It condenses. Boom. Okay. It's called continuous because it's in a big column. It's all one big package. It's easy to move. You don't have bits and pieces. And Armagnac is kind of small. Its region is small, and most of the producers are really small, unlike cognac. All right, so we're comparing the two now. So unlike cognac, most of your Armagnac producers are really small. You don't have a Hennessy, which is, again, why you don't know it. They're smaller. They're smaller farmers. It's a smaller region. So what they do is they pass the still around when it comes time to distill, make the distillate for this season's grapes. They just kind of all share a couple of the column stills. And they move it from one place to another, probably on a truck, because they don't have to use horse and buggy anymore. Anyway, so they move it over to the next person's house instead of everybody having their own big stills. Now, I'll give you a hint. In cognac, they use copper pot stills, just like they do for bourbon. So automatically, you're getting a flavor difference, all right? The copper still is a different flavor profile than a column still. So that's one distinction right there. They use mostly the same grapes, except that in Armagnac, the Uni Blanc is a bigger portion. Sorry, backwards. In cognac, the Uni Blanc is a bigger portion. There's Uni Blanc, Colombard, and the other one escapes me just now that they use in cognac. In Armagnac, they use Uni Blanc, and it's only about 55%. And then they use about 13 other grapes. And until recently, or in the very near future, they used this grape that was a hybrid grape, and it created a lot of flavor. And I guess they've been told recently by the AOC. Remember the AOC from our talk on French wines? And Brie cheese, right? There's another AOC governed thing. Anyway, they also govern Armagnac and cognac. And so all of the grapes have to be what they call vinifera. And the vinifera grapes aren't hybrids. Hybrids aren't allowed to be used because they aren't indigenous. They're not really grapes. They're grapes that were created or made from two grapes and they made it a hybrid. They're not indigenous. They're not what we call vinifera. It's a little complex to explain for the show. But so the flavor profile of Armagnac is going to change just a little bit because I guess this grape added a really cool flavor to it. But it is made from about 13 other grapes besides your Uni Blanc. All right, and Uni Blanc only makes up to 55%. So you get a lot more variety on the original flavor profile for Armagnac, and it gives it a lot more floral and fruity aromatics that you don't always get on cognac is one of the differences. And then keep in mind the column stills, right? All right, so if that's not enough to make them different, Armagnac is only distilled one time. In cognac, they don't want all the impurities and the little rough edges and what we call the rusticity, which is just rustic. Have you ever had a bottle of Malbec from Argentina? All right, there's a little rusticity involved in Malbec from Argentina. It's got some edginess, sometimes a little dirt, sometimes a little just, I don't know, edginess. Whereas maybe Merlot from California has all the edges, all the rusticity kind of brushed off. They kind of cleaned the grapes before they processed them a little bit better. I don't know. It's not really dirty grapes versus clean grapes. It's just it's a refined process to one that just keeps a little truer to their style, truer to their country. All right. So I've talked about Australian Shiraz and French Syrah. Same kind of thing. The Australians are a little bolder, a little bigger in flavor, sometimes a lot bigger in flavor. And the French keep it refined and a little more elegant. All right. Well, kind of the same thing between Armagnac and cognac. Armagnac has its rough edges. It keeps its individuality through the distillation process because they only do it once. It's a time constraint. It's a staying true to who they are. It's making sure their neighbors have a chance to use a still before their grapes rot. It's all of those things in Armagnac. So they only distill once in that column still. Then they go ahead and they pop it into barrel. All right. And they have big barrels that are like 400 liters big. And this kind of stuff is the barrels that they use. And they are made from the Armagnac trees. Right there in Basse Armagnac, they use those trees to age their Armagnac. Forgive me, they're brandy. Remember, this is a show about brandy. So they aged in their own trees, the Basse Armagnac. Basse Armagnac, B-A-S, and then the word Armagnac. I hope you don't need me to spell that today. So anyway, Basse Armagnac is one of the smaller regions of Armagnac. It has three regions. Basse Armagnac you'll often see on a bottle. All right, so if you go to the store and you're looking and you're at a fairly decent liquor store, I don't know if most grocery stores carry any Armagnac. They may, but I don't shop at the grocery store for my alcohol. I have to be honest. They usually will carry some VS and VSOP cognacs, but I don't know, again, how much they're going to carry for cognac. My guess is they don't carry a lot of Armagnac, so you have to be someplace that has a pretty good selection. But the Armagnac will say Basse Armagnac on it if it's from only that region. If it's got the other grapes in it from the other regions, or it doesn't have anything from Basse Armagnac, you know, it's just totally from the other two regions. It won't say anything. It'll usually just say Armagnac, all right? So Basse Armagnac, Armagnac. They have some of the similar concepts for labeling as cognac. But here's the kicker. They don't have the same age statement. So if it says VS, VSOP, XO, Ordiage, it's not the same time frames as it is for cognac. It's different in Armagnac, all right? And they're actually a little bit longer. So what the age statement says is that that's the youngest the cognac can be. So if the age statement says VS, then the youngest the Armagnac can be, it has to be at least 3 years old. Can't be any younger than that. All right, if it says VSOP, it's got to be at least 5 years old. Okay? And then you get into XO, which is extra old. All right? So it's VS means very superior. All right? If you've ever had VS cognac, talking about cognac. All right. Here's my opinion. It's not very superior. It's really young, and it shows like it's really young. I mean, any day that you want to give me Hennessy VS, I'm going to refuse. Now, if you want to go over and pour me Spanish brandy that costs the same or less than Hennessy VS, just to use a brand name, because you know the brand name of Hennessy. Okay, there's nothing wrong with the Hennessy products. It's just it's young. It's 3 years old. It's 2 years old. It's whatever, right? When you're talking to cognac, that Spanish brandy I mentioned earlier, 10 years old. It's $20, maybe 25. 10 years old. Why would I ever drink a VS from cognac or Armagnac of 2, 3, 4 years old? Why would I ever drink that when I could have a 10-year Spanish brandy and be the same or cheaper? You know, I think the Torres brandy is actually cheaper than Hennessy VS. All right, then you get into VSOP, okay? So very superior old pale. That's what that means, VSOP. And then you get into, and again, that's going to be, sometimes they call it a Reserva. They have a few names, but usually it's a VSOP. And that's going to be a minimum of 5 years. Seriously? Still give me that Spanish brandy at 10 years old. Absolutely. VSOPs are not cheap, by the way. They're going to set you back. I think they're almost always set you back, especially if it's a cognac, about $50, maybe $75. Armagnac, same thing. Armagnac is going to set you back about $50 for a VSOP. They're going to be good. I don't know that they're better, though, than that Spanish brandy. That Spanish brandy is awful darn good. All right, then you get into XO, which means extra old. They're going to be a minimum of 6 years old. Now, here's where I'm going to draw the difference. I would take an XO over my Spanish brandy. I know the age distinction isn't the same, but this is a blend. The Spanish brandy is all 10 years. This one is a blend. The minimum age is 6 years, but they're going to have stuff in it that's older. And then you get into some other, like the Ordiage. Sometimes you'll see them, cognacs will sometimes say Napoleon. They have a whole bunch of other things. And then the cool thing about Armagnac is also that they do vintage. You don't see very many cognacs that have a vintage on them. Most cognacs, they occasionally you will, but they tend to be very expensive. Armagnacs are not going to be cheap, but they're not going to be off the deep end either. So if you get something that's in the 1980s vintage, say 1987 or 19, something along that line, so if they did a vintage bottling of an Armagnac, and then they aged it, say, for 15 or 20 years, and then they bottle it. It doesn't age a whole lot after bottling, but say they pick the grapes in 1987, and then they aged it, say, for, let me see if I can do the math, 15 years, and bottled it in 2002, right? That's 15 years. And then you bought it, say, next week. All right, it's going to be pretty much the same as when it came out of the barrel, if it's been handled well. I mean, you have to trust your supplier, right? Your retail liquor store. And then I, in turn, trust my suppliers that they don't sell me things that aren't very good. There's that level there. But it's going to taste the same as it would have when it was bottled in about 2002, and now it's 2012. So that, it doesn't age a lot once it's bottled. So the vintage things are very, very cool. So if you've got somebody, you're nosing around, and they like XO Cognac, they have a bottle of Hennessy XO that they just rave about, all right? I'm really picking on Hennessy today. Sorry about that. But they have a bottle of Hennessy XO that they just love. And it's, you go to the store and I tell you, yeah, Hennessy XO is going to set you back about $165. And you're like, oh my gosh, I really wanted to spend closer to $100. I might recommend a really cool Armagnac XO. Open their mind to something new. I know it's going to be rich. It's going to be different because it has that rusticity. It has the different distillation processes. It has the different oak, the slightly different grapes. But we're staying in the age statement, and I'm going to recommend one that I like to drink, that I think is really rich. It is different, but it's so cool because they're close enough that you can do it and stay closer in your budget, because you can get an Armagnac XO usually for about $100. A Hennessy XO or Camus or Delamain or most of those are going to set you back about $150. Remy, there's another one, the Remy. So anyway, we're going to go to break, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you all about cognac and how it's different from Armagnac. Part of it I've already told you. And then I'm going to, just in case you still don't know what to serve for Thanksgiving, I'm going to cover that real quick at the end. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Follow us on Twitter at Voice America TRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's Voice America TRN.
News, opinion,
your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's, with your host, Kimber Stonehouse. If you have a question for one of our upcoming programs, please send an email to aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. That's Around the World in a Glass at hotmail.com. Now, back to our show.
All right. Well, we got one more category to try and blow through. And I just looked at my notes while we were off the break, and I realized I forgot about apple and pear brandy. So we'll hopefully get to those as well. But first, I want to talk a little bit about cognac. I've mentioned it several times today. It is the big daddy of brandy. And, people are like, oh, I love brandy. Well, what I want to know is, do you love brandy or do you love cognac? Let's be very clear, because brandy includes cognac, but not all brandy is cognac, right? Because cognac comes from a really special region of France, much like Armagnac. But like we talked earlier, Cognac is kind of on the coast. It's situated where it can get close to water. It can ship. So it was able to start marketing its product primarily to the British long before Armagnac could get its product over. Armagnac has actually been making their version of brandy quite a bit longer than Cognac. But that, again, that bad marketing, that transit problem, and it's always kind of amazing to us, or at least to me, here in the 21st century that we live in, to think about the fact that, 200 years ago, a little over 200, Henry Ford, 1906. So, yeah, I guess a little over 100 anyway. It's really amazing when you really start to think about that, about how hard transportation probably was. And how hard it was to get your product to market, especially if it was a big, bulky, heavy product, and to sell it to someone. It's one of those things that we think about now, but we think about it in concepts of trucks and planes and, railroad cars and things like that. You don't think about it in terms of a horse-drawn wagon, So Cognac comes from that little region. They use the Uni Blanc. And then they use Colombard, so they have a few grapes. And they're allowed to use up to, I think, other 4 or 5 grapes that are allowed to go in there. But those grapes can only take up about 10%. So the biggest portion of grapes that go into a cognac are going to be Uni Blanc. And so that's one of the differences in flavor profile. And then remember I mentioned that they use a copper still. Cognac's been selling it longer. They have some huge producers. Well, a company like Hennessy, Delamain, Remy, Camus, Caymus, if you haven't ever heard of them. And I'm just barely touching the tip, okay? There's Celt. There's Hina. I don't know how to say it the French way. My French is not very good. Hine. All of these people are huge. They do fairly large production, fairly large scale. And so they have their own stuff. They're not going to share the continuous still or the column still with their neighbor. They are going to just have their own pot stills right there, their own copper pot stills, their big warehouse. They're going to have all their own stuff. So they, it's a little bit different. It's not quite the same kind of community. It's bigger. It's bigger production. It's bigger grapes, bigger amounts of grapes, bigger, more bottlings, more warehouses. The whole thing is a little bit bigger. It's not going to look like an oil refinery when you drive onto the lot, I don't believe. It's still going to be really serene because it's just, it's still France. They're still farmers. That's what they do is they grow grapes. They just happen to make grapes into really expensive cognac. All right, so the age distinctions are going to be the same. We talked about it being the copper pot still, the grapes, and then they put theirs after they distill it, and it's clear. Remember those eau de vies? They do some bottlings as eau de vies. Then they're going to go ahead and pop that after they distill 2 times. That's right. They do the whole process. They clean everything up, and then they do the whole process a second time. Every bit of it is distilled twice because cognac is known for being really, really smooth. So they don't want that rusticity that Armagnac is striving for. They want that polish. They want that refinement, all of that elegance that can come across on your palate. And keep in mind, if they're going to pour it and they're going to put it in a blown glass crystal from Baccarat, and then they're going to charge you, $3,000 or $4,000 for this little 750, not even a liter, 750 milliliters, not even a full liter. They're going to charge you $4,000 for that. It better be really smooth around the edges. Honestly, it better be absolutely incredible. There shouldn't be any rusticity left. So that's the difference in temperament between the two different people. That's the difference in the product as well. That's why I said if you know they have a bottle of Louis XIII on their shelf, let's find them a really great bottle of wine, okay? Especially if you don't have $4,000 in your budget for their Christmas present. We need to find something other than a bottle of cognac for them. All right, so cognac has some of the age statements that look exactly like they do on Armagnac, but they're not quite the same. Armagnac, a VS was at least 3 years old, okay? 3 years old. That's not very old for the flavor profile, right? A VS on cognac is 2.5. It can't be any less than 2.5 years aged in oak to be blended into a bottle of VS cognac. All right, 2.5 versus 3. Eh. The next one, I think, was 5 for VSOP for Armagnac. VSOP, very superior, old, pale, for Cognac is going to be 4.5. Has to be a minimum of 4.5 years old. So basically, it's about 6 months difference. And then they get to XO, and they say their youngest has to be at least 6.5. So the XO has to have just another 6 months of age in comparison to an Armagnac. Remember, they don't do a lot of vintage stuff with Cognac, not a lot of vintage. They will occasionally, I'm not going to say they never do it because that would be inaccurate, but it's really hard to find vintage Cognac. It's a more of an Armagnac thing to do the vintage, to declare it a vintage and have only that vintage in the bottle. Cognac is and Armagnac both are very much a blending process to get a signature flavor, to get a consistency that every time I buy that bottle of Delamain Extra Pale or Delamain Pale and Dry or Delamain XO, every time I buy that Delamain Cognac, it tastes the same. That's what the striving is for with the blending process. All right, so that's what they're striving for, is a consistency of flavor. Vintage kind of blows that out of the water. So if you like a producer, or if you're buying a gift for someone and you just want to turn them on to something they've never had, a vintage Armagnac is just a really cool thing to do. Sometimes if you get lucky, their birth date or a special date, you know, an anniversary of maybe a wedding anniversary. There are other types of anniversaries. I've never been married. I find other things to celebrate. But if you have a specific date and, you know, a year, if you get really lucky, maybe it was a vintage year in Armagnac, and you can buy them, if you, depending on your budget, you can buy them a vintage Armagnac, which is really cool. I've had a few from, I think it was 87. They're not always all available. They don't do it every year. So if you call the store and say, hey, I heard about it on the radio, I want to get a vintage Armagnac and I need it for 1982. I got to check and see if they even made a vintage Armagnac in 1982. It's kind of like port, right? We talked a little bit about vintage port. If you want a vintage, we have to make sure they declared it a vintage year first, that the grapes were good enough to say, this is amazing stuff. We're going to make it a vintage. Same thing with champagne. They have vintages in champagne. That means that not every year is good enough to call it a vintage year. Sometimes it seems like it's almost every year because you have 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. But there are years that they do skip. And the grapes just weren't good enough. And depending on your champagne house, like your Armagnac house, sometimes they skip it and maybe somebody else makes it, but this Armagnac or champagne house skipped it. All right, so that's a little bit about Cognac and brandy. If you do have a question, make sure you email us. We are not out of time yet, so don't panic. I just wanted to make sure I get to a little bit about Calvados. This is one of my favorite beverages, and I always forget about it. So I don't even think I have a bottle at home right now. But pear and apple brandies, all right? They are not the same as the American styles, or other countries do some pretty good versions of them. I've had one from Germany that was pretty rocking. So stay with the Europeans if you want the real richness, all right? Because what they do is they start with apples, and then I think sometimes it's both apples and pears that go into real Calvados, but sometimes they separate it, okay? So it just depends on your house. Also depends on how much you're paying for it, just so you know. Okay, so keep in mind that if you want to pay a premium, I'm sure you could find one out there that's only apples. But sometimes they mix them because it creates a better flavor profile, and they can get more fruit to be your base. So like your brandy, it's considered to be apple brandy or pear brandy because it doesn't start with grapes. It starts with apples or pears. Go figure. You might have seen the bottles because some of the bottles are like pear-shaped. All right, and they have a pear on the inside of this clear stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you see one, and it's called pomme, and it's got P-O-M-M-E, not to be confused with the pomegranate stuff, and it's got an apple on the inside of the bottle. You're like, how in the world did they get that apple in there? You know, well, they put the bottles on the branches before they're apples. That's right. They put the bottles, the really fancy glass bottles, they put them on the trees so that the pear grows into the bottle, and then they add the brandy inside after they get it distilled, and then they age it. So those are going to set you back almost always at least $75. So, you know, I don't ever buy those. All right, here's the tips and tricks from Kimber. I don't ever buy those because as soon as the alcohol goes lower than the pear or the apple, that part of the pear or the apple starts to rot. It doesn't stay. You don't have enough alcohol in it anymore. As long as you still have plenty of alcohol in it, the pear stays good. But eventually, especially if it sits there too long, say you don't drink it quickly, the pear is awesome, by the way, to eat. So you can eat it. But if you don't drink your brandy fast enough so that the pear, as it is resubmitted to the air, not just bathed in brandy, but resubmitted to the air, it's going to do what fruit does. That's what it does. It doesn't stay good forever. You've taken the alcohol away. So that was the preservative. The alcohol was what was preserving that pear in that jar, in that bottle. So if you're going to buy those, make sure you take care of the pear or the apple if you're going to do that, and don't have it turn and start to rot before you get all your alcohol out, because your alcohol is going to keep that flavor too if you're not careful. So I don't ever buy those. They're expensive, and I know I can get just as good but without the pear or the apple to mess with. But I also like Calvados that's been aged for just a bit. So if it's been aged for just a bit, the beauty of it is there's a little bit of that oak going on. Instead of being so clear, it has some richness. And Calvados is just fantastic. Don't mix it with ice. It's not a beverage I like on ice. I like it room temperature or just a little bit warm. And how do you do that? Do you have to put it over the flame and hope that you don't ruin your crystal? Microwave. That's right. Microwave it in the microwave oven. Put it in a regular glass. A regular glass dish that can go in the microwave. Even a measuring cup might work. Not great for your elegant presentation. But if you want it warmer, then you microwave the part you want. Not for very long. We're talking, 15 seconds. All right. It doesn't need to be in there for 2 minutes like you're warming up your lunch for tomorrow. It needs to be in there for just a few minutes. And then you warm it up just a little bit. This can go for the apple kind or the pear kind. They're both amazing. My favorite is the apple, though. Who knows why, because I'm not a fan of apple pie even, but I love Calvados. I think it's fantastic. So you put that in your microwave just a little bit, and then you just pour it into your serving glass. And it's fantastic. It's a wonderful, relaxing way to end a party, to end dinner, to surprise people. Right? They're used to, especially like on Turkey Day, everybody's over full. They don't want anything. But you're like, hey, how about a little after-dinner drink? Something relaxing while we're watching football, because we know that we could always use more relaxation when we watch football. Something a little relaxing. It's, people are still maybe thinking about dessert, haven't eaten dessert yet. A bottle of Calvados is fantastic. After any, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, whether it's a party that you've had and you've had wonderful food and you just want to relax a little bit. Everybody's not ready to leave yet. Sometimes you get out a cheese board, a couple of cheeses and some crackers for people to nibble on, and just pass out some Calvados and do something different. Go for the apple brandy instead of something more traditional. And today we've talked about a lot. We've talked about Spanish brandy and its affordability. Apple brandy doesn't have to be expensive. We've got a few at the store. You're still talking $25-$30, though. You're not talking cheap. Quality matters. Quality matters on these things. And so sometimes you have to pay a little more for that. You are sipping it. You're not mixing it. You're not making cocktails with it. You're pouring about a shot to two shots per person, and it is to sip and savor. It isn't to toss back like it's, doing shots at the bar with tequila or white label Jim Beam. That's not the process here. This is a sip and savor. This is a sip and relax and just enjoy the beverage. And so sometimes you have to spend a little more on that quality. If you do have any questions, or say you have a nightmare present you have to buy in the next 4 weeks, you don't know what to do, please email us. You know our email address, aroundtheworldinaglass@hotmail.com. We'll be happy to answer your question on the air and help you figure out how to buy the best gift possible if that's what you've got going on. Enjoy the holiday. Don't panic over what to serve with turkey. Remember, you've got a lot of options there. And to make sure it's wine you like. If you don't like red, it doesn't matter how perfectly it matches. We talk about this all the time here on the show. If you don't like that kind of wine, it doesn't matter if it matches perfectly with your turkey or your ham, or if you're doing, what did somebody else do last year? Somebody did some kind of amazing steak. So, sometimes people do non-traditional foods, and that's awesome. We usually do ham at our house and turkey. I'm not a fan of the turkey. I'm not really a huge fan of ham either, but there's always plenty of food to eat, that's for sure. Have a great week. Next week we'll be back, we take just one or two days. We have short hours at the store on Thursday, so if you're coming by the store to get your last minute, I forgot wine. We're only open from 10 to 2. We don't stay open later than that so that everybody can have an opportunity to spend Thanksgiving with their family, and we always have to have at least one or two people staff the store. So if you are stopping by the store in a last-minute rush, 10 to 2. and then we will be back on Friday to work regular hours through the holiday season. Can't think of anything else I need to tell you. We've covered a ton of information today with brandy and cognac and Armagnac and grappa and eau de vies and Calvados. It's been something that's just absolutely made me thirsty. So I think it's time to go. We will see you all back here next week. Have a wonderful weekend and get those bargains if possible tomorrow. Have a good time. Bye.
Thanks again for tuning in. Around the World in a Glass is heard every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Please join Kimber Stonehouse from Sportsman's Fine Wines and Spirits next week for another glass.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.